Amen. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you that Lord, you are the provider, God. You've given us your word, God, to strengthen us, God, to be a banner of truth in our lives, Father God. And Lord, it is a tool that we are to use, Father God, to continue to grow us and discipline us, God. So we ask, Lord, that today that our hearts would be receptive, God. Our minds would be willing to hear and listen what it is that you have to say today. And most importantly, God, that you would be glorified through it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we have a lot of scripture today. I hope you guys have brought your Bibles and you're ready to use them. Who knows our simple prayer? Wants to volunteer. I'm asking for a volunteer. You want to volunteer for us, Pastor Stiles? Go for it. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true.
I believe that I am what it says I am.
I believe that I am what it says I am.
That I can do everything it says I can do.
That I can do everything it says I can do. Have. Have.
Yeah. And I have everything it says I have.
And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be ready in season, out of season, as he always tells us, right? Amen. So the title of this message and kind of the focus of this message, give you a little bit of background. I've been reading through Galatians. And when you study Galatians and you go through and you read Galatians and you're taking things in the time and the period of when the Galatians were being addressed through this letter, that they were being called out on the carpet, okay? And they were being called out for a reason. They were being called out because they were listening to somebody other than Jesus Christ. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but they were actually starting to have issues throughout the churches and stuff that were there that were becoming a problem, and it was starting to become infectious. Now, I bring that up because, believe it or not, that same principle of problems has only exponentially magnified in today's society. I mean, like, at critical mass level. It's really bad. When you decided that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you liked it or not, you just put a t-shirt on with a big giant Target on your back. And that doesn't mean you work at Target. That just means you are a Target. Okay? You became a target. You become public enemy number one. To who? Right. The devil. He now hates you more than he ever hated anything ever before. Because you're a problem now. You've officially become a problem for him. Because everything within you, because of who Christ is and what Christ accomplished on the cross, has now empowered you to kick his behind. You believe that? Okay? You should believe it. That's truth. Okay? But the way you kick his behind isn't because you just find him in the street and you just start, you know, ganging up on him and, you know, dropping elbows and, you know, pull out your Glock and do business, whatever you want to do. That's not how we fight. That's not what we do. But what we do is we speak truth to other people that don't know him, and exponentially more are won into the kingdom, and that just infuriates them. Okay? So that's how we fight. But he doesn't fight back the way we fight. That's not how he fights. So the title of this message is called The Modern Liar. Because what he is and what he does is he lies. He is the father of lies. Everything about him is a lie. So when you understand the embodiment of a lie and what a lie does and how a lie works, okay, and I'm not talking about like a fib or a white lie or a little tale or whatever, although you can let the Holy Spirit convict you of those areas if he does, but we're talking about an actual well thought out, planned, coordinated assault in lie and deception. We're talking generations and generations and generations of planning and plotting lies upon lies upon lies. And we've talked about it here in this church personally that, you know, what do you mean about the, you know, the enemy attacks? Well, here's how he does it, okay? He's going to try to get you first, right? And if he can't succeed in getting you to bite into the lie, what's he going to do? He's going to try to attack you through your family, right? Which some people here can honestly say is happening, right? It's not, look, I hate to say it, but when you signed up, your family signed up too. They just didn't know it. Because they're going to get attacked, okay? And if he can't win through that format, he's going to attack your environment. He's going to attack you in your workplace. He's going to attack you with your neighborhood and other areas and places that you go. He's going to try to affect your environment. How does he affect your environment, Pastor? He cuts your brake line on your car. That's how he does it. He affects your environment. You think that that's just haphazard, oh, well, just wear and tear, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. Nothing is coincidence when you're in the kingdom. Nothing. It's been a coordinated attack on you. Thank God you were safe and you made it home safe and sound. Right? But what has happened, okay, is that the method that the enemy uses has actually evolved. And what he does is he evolves around the actual changes that society goes through. And as society has evolved and changed over time, okay, so has his method. So has the way he moves and operates. And so what I wanted to take today and spend some time on with you guys is really taking a big picture look at the modern version of what he's currently up to today. So you have eyes and ears and attentiveness to see and discern where this is going on. Because it's important that you know. Because if you're unaware, do you think that the enemy cares that you were ignorant and you didn't know? That you were falling into a trap? No. He doesn't care that you know or don't know. Actually, your ignorance is beneficial to him. Because if you didn't know and you walked into it, that was your own stupid fault. You should have been more aware. He takes advantage of the ignorance. And so today we're going to bash down ignorance. We're not going to be ignorant anymore. Amen? Amen? Let's not. All right, and let's move forward. So let's start with the anti-truth movement. And this is what I like to call it. Because here's, let's put a big little like black and white chessboard out on the table. And you know, you're playing chess. Dan's good at chess. He'll tell you how, you know, how to win in like six moves or something. But it's black versus white. And that's not racial, but it's a war. There's no gray pieces. There's no gray spots. It is a war between the black pieces and the white pieces. And so when you put white pieces down, and let's just say they're God's pieces, they're built on truth. So guess what those black pieces are built on? Everything that stands in opposition to truth. Okay? They're going against truth. So if you're talking about what the enemy's plans or what his whole process or his method of operating is, his operation method is, I'm going against truth. Whatever truth is, I'm opposed to it. Because he can't align with truth. So in 2 Timothy, go ahead, Dylan, if you can pull that up for me. Verses, or 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8, right? We're gonna get some light shine on this. So, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Okay, we already had this discussion a while back about when are the last days. We're in them, okay? So we can always kind of just summarize that. That's now. So men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, I'm going to pause right there before we go to the next section there. Was this a list of characteristics, or were these actually people? See, I tend to sit down and think that you could turn around and go, oh, well, this is, these are things that you measure, or these are characteristics that you want to look for, or whatever. In reality, how many of these people do you know that fall into these categories? How many people can you pinpoint and find that hold on to these as not just their moral value, but sometimes they actually are proud that they're them? Anti-truth. If the enemy can get you to believe that that's a good characteristic and not a bad one, he's got you. Right? But I want to focus on verse 5. Because verse 5 to me is actually the key core component of what this actually is all about. You read that and it says having a form of godliness but denying its power. If you're sitting there and you're looking at it as a characteristic, you might sit there and say, okay, so these are people that do X, Y, and Z or whatever. To me, that's actually the method that created all the previous. Think about it. If you're a person who has a form of godliness, but you deny the truth power that is within it, are you a harbinger of good, or are you a harbinger of evil? Because what that tells me is that you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what that says. You are disguised to act as a believer, someone who is here for righteousness and good things, but you sow seeds of corruption and destruction. Think about it. Just a minute. Can you bring up the rest of the passage, though? For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. To me, starting at verse 5 and then following that list down, you get a clear, concise description of what these people are about. They are not going to hear truth, because truth stands in complete opposition of what they're about. Sometimes they know the truth. They know the truth, but they resist it because it goes against their plan. And their plan is what? Creep in households, take captive gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. I'm not even going to get into that. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they're seeking out knowledge. They want more knowledge, but what do they want that knowledge for? It's not to come to knowledge of truth. No. They want more knowledge so that they can use it as a weapon against you. That is what they're looking for. They're using knowledge as a tool to get more weary or more, they're looking for more ways that they can turn around and find avenues to creep in. Now, this might be much, timely, where they're talking about gullible women and what they're doing. Not to say that that's not still going on, but guess what? That knowledge was being used to do that. That's what they were using knowledge for. They were making themselves seem like they were special or important, intellectual, scholarly, whatever, to lure those women in. Well, guess what? I bet you today, if you were to take a look at those individuals, what are they doing? I'll draw one name. Harvey Weinstein. Now that knowledge is being used to combine with wealth. And what does wealth give you? All that money gives you power, and that power gives you the ability to do whatever you want with little or no repercussions. It's serious business. Okay? 1 Timothy 4:1-3, Dill. says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking in lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. There are two things here. I'm going to try to not talk about the one and just focus on the other, but we'll see what the Spirit says. But if you read that, those three passages in Scripture, and I really want you to go back and just read them on your own, after you hear what I'm bringing to attention here, this is drawing attention to a specific person. This is a specific person. Who is this person? Someone who has departed from the faith. These are people that are ex-believers. That is a very important thing to know. These are people that will proclaim that they know God, they know who He is, they know Jesus, they know about Jesus, but what do? They corrupted it. They now are taking advantage of that bit of knowledge that they know and using it as a vessel to sow in seeds of destruction to those who actually do believe. This is seriously dangerous. Why? Why is this so dangerous? It's dangerous for me to just express it and tell you guys about it. Why is it dangerous? Because now you are having to be a deep discerner of what comes from someone who proclaims the faith in Jesus Christ. You actually now have to turn around and go into your word and go and find out, is that true? Because this person just told me that this was true. But I'm telling you that not everybody who calls on the name of Jesus Christ is going to speak truth. Not everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ is going to have your intentions in the best regard. They're looking for their own self. They're looking out to do their own things. They have a self plan. Not God's plan. That's important. Would you agree? Okay? Now think about it from a strategic point now. Step away from the ex-believer and step into the realm of the Spirit and step into the realm where you have a person, entity, that hates you, hates everything about you, hates what you stand for, and has found a vessel that can blend in, act like he's a believer, act like he knows what he's talking about, act like he's got everything together, and use him to sow seeds of destruction. See, to me, I take that person and I now go, today, with the way things are, that person doesn't even have to be a person. Heck, guess what? He's not. He's a television commercial. He's social media. He's a photo. He's an advertisement on a billboard. He's a bunch of things. Because he doesn't need to be a person anymore. Because the person had the ability to do those things way back then. Because that was the best method. But guess what the best method to get to your head now is? What are you consumed with? People today, guess what? This generation, they're not consumed with having conversations. They don't want to know who you are. They don't care to know who you are. They don't. But what are you showing them? What are you putting before their faces? What are you putting around them? What things are they possessing? Because that's how it's working now. That is the method, the vessel that the enemy is choosing to deceive with now. Okay? In Galatians, you got that one for me, Dill? I didn't know if I put that on. Hey, he does. Cool. So in Galatians, a little bit more to kind of go along with this point. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. 10-10. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That is what he was singly just getting. And this was very early in the letter. He's addressing the problem with the Galatians, right? Which I told you was, is they are now listening to something else. He's telling them right off the bat, look, I'm not mad at you that you're listening to it. That person's going to be accursed. But what is the measuring stick? He gave them a measuring stick. What's the measuring stick, Dan? The gospel, right? There was something that was given to you. You have an actual text that was given to you to follow, to pay attention to. So I'm going to go and I'm going to hit the home run right now. One. How much do you know? Because your problems are only going to be magnified by how little or how much you know. Because that was the Galatians' problem. They sat there, they got it, they were happy to hear the gospel and the news was good and everything like that. But the second somebody came around and talked about something that did what? Pleased who? Pleased men, they faded away from it. Well, guess what? Newsflash, this isn't going to please you. It's not. It's not meant to please you. It's meant to discipline and correct you because you are fallen. All of us are fallen. So if you don't get that through your heads today, you're going to understand that you're close to the line of going and finding things that will please you. And the second you make that rational thought in your head that, well, you know, it really isn't working for me, God, you are opening Pandora's box, for you have no idea what's coming around the corner. You couldn't even possibly ID it. Because it's going to fall on your doorstep. It's going to look cool. It's going to look great. It's going to align itself with God's word in some places, but not in all. And you're going to go on to it, and you're going to grab it, and you're going to apply it to your life. You're going to hand it to your kids, your wife. You're going to distribute it to your family and friends around you. And then all of a sudden, an atom bomb goes off. I didn't know that was going to happen. Why didn't you weigh it against God's word? Why didn't you really critically weigh it against God's word? I'm going to go there. It's not good enough to just go, well, God's word does say that this is okay, so I think that's okay too. Well, wait a minute. But didn't God say that this is particularly not okay? Give you for instance. By no means is this anything about any particular person, or this is not a thing. But a constant movement in today's society is getting to know who you're with by living with them and sleeping with them. That's a common practice today. People have socially accepted that as a norm. People have turned around and said, well, you know, back in the day, you know, they lived all in the same houses and all that stuff and things like that. And this is stuff I hear from people that are believers. But fornication is sin. God's firm against that, right? Yeah, he is. What do I do? Well, first of all, repent and stop it. That's how you get through it. Repent, stop it. But if it's not acceptable to God, you need to draw a hard line. That's change. That's what this is going to do to you. It's going to make you draw hard lines in the sand and go, that's where I go no further. Because if I do, I am watering down the blood of Jesus Christ. I am actually damaging my salvation. I am putting my life in my own hands and no longer in his. I'm risking things. And not only that, I'm not interested in how it's changing my life. I'm interested in how it's helping me. What's better for my personal life? What makes me feel better? What makes me pleasured? Told you might not be hungry. The plan that the enemy installed as far back, and this goes back to 40 AD approximately, okay, let's not go into terms of this is positive, was simple. I'm going to use those who identify as a believer to deceive their own. Because how easy is it to be deceived by somebody who walks and talks just like you? It's pretty simple. I'm not applauding Satan for coming up with that strategy. Okay? Because it's not his technical strategy. We've used it in military, right? Who do you think a spy is? What's a spy? He's going out and playing for the other team. But he doesn't play for the other team. When he sets off his flare and identifies that, oh, here's where their base is, who set that flare off? Somebody's not on your squad. Okay? So it's a practice. It's something that's used, okay, even today, right? But in today's society, the scope of misleadings and misappropriations of the gospel of truth are so prevalent that you can pretty much find a version of Christianity that supports your lifestyle. Think about that. That was the other thing I was trying to not get into, but there's a religious context to this passage, okay? That's coming against straight up religious practice. Religious practice that's built around you and your lifestyle. There are churches that are completely filled with homosexuals because they have homosexual preachers that preach homosexuality is accepted. With a little sprinkle of Jesus. But what does God say about it? Where does God stand on that subject matter? Because if you're telling me he doesn't stand in opposition to that, I'm going to show you scripture that says he does. And it doesn't mean we don't love them, and it doesn't mean that there's not grace, and it does not mean that there's not a chance for them to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in its totality. We hate them, or there's a hatred base here. No. But please understand that what is happening, the lie and the liar and what he's about, is about continuing to keep you ignorant as long as humanly possible. Because when the second coming comes, if you're still ignorant, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Please hear me. This is like a plea message. I'm pleading with you. I don't want anybody in trouble. I want this whole church to know they're not ignorant and they're sitting on the word of God and they know what it's truth and they stand in total opposition to anything that comes against it. We can't be ignorant, church. We can't afford to be ignorant. It's not in our time period. We don't have time anymore. Okay? To make matters worse, the current social norms that are applied today take away the consequences for sinful behaviors and replace them with protections and powers outside of God, in turn making God the enemy. Think about that. Things that would normally have consequences, that God would supply those consequences to those people in love and in grace so that they could come to repentance and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, has been wiped away because now the social norm and the powers that be offer up separated protections that exonerate them and make God evil. Take a look at your school systems. Take a look at the political hemisphere. Take a look at anything. Find it. It's there. I'm not lying. Test it. See if I'm wrong. So what do we do about it now? Let's get to the second half, right? What do we have? So we have an anti-truth movement. What is the battle axe that we wield against anti-truth? Tony Louder. The truth. Thank you. The truth. That's all you have. And that's all you need. You need nothing else outside of the truth. You don't need an extra set of hands. You don't need an extra tool belt. You don't need, like, what's the bat tool belt thing? What's that called? Utility belt. Thank you. You don't need Batman's utility belt that has all the gadgets and contraptions coming out of the God knows where. You know, and somehow that belt always has the exact thing that he needs to get out of the situation. Like, how did you know that you were going to be sitting in a pit of lava and you needed lava retardant repellent? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Yeah, he's Batman. Yeah, uh-huh. You know what my utility belt is? The Word of God. Amen? Because whenever I'm in a hot situation, this gets me out of it. Amen? John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Amen. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God, I love that scripture. That is good. That is power. That is awesome. Amen. Key word. Key word is abide. Key word is abide. Truth is there. We know the truth. But there's a key word, and the key word is abide, because to me that is a contingent word. All of that that you were like, yeah, all right, is predicated that you do what? If you abide. Abide is a big word. Doesn't seem like a big word, but it is. What does abide mean? Abide means to endure without yielding. Whoa, wait, what? I thought it just meant to live in a place. I abide in my home. When you abide in your home, you endure without yielding. You endure a mortgage without yielding. Right? Abiding actually implements a process of endurance, which is reaffirmed by other scriptures that say you're running a race. Right? It's a marathon. Don't exhaust yourself in one burst. You got a long race to run. You need endurance. You need to pace yourself, right? But the other part of that was without what? Without yielding. That means you're not making any room for anything else. You're not leaving open doors. You walk through a door, you close it behind you. You're advancing, but you're not leaving room for the enemy to come and get your ankles. Abide. Big word. Five letters. Did you know that? And now Jesus explains even further that in that abide, okay, of his word, we gain two things. We become his disciples, and now we will know the truth. And via the truth, we become free. So, hear me, disclaimer, just because you're abiding in his word doesn't mean you entirely are free. Do you get that? Just because you are enduring without yielding in his word does not mean you are free. How could I possibly say that? Aren't they all the same? What's truth? Is this by itself truth? It is. Oh, that's not truth. That's paper. Is this by itself truth? Or is the application of it truth? Because see, you can read this and just gain knowledge. But knowledge puffs up. It's not getting you anywhere. But when you actually apply the Word of God, that's truth, because truth is an actual living embodiment of God's Word. Truth is application. Truth is something that is tangible. Truth is something that people can see in your life. People can't see. We could watch people read the Bible all day long, and they walk out and they're heathens. Is that truth? No. Doesn't mean anything. Apparently, they're not really getting the truth of God's word. They're missing something. They're missing that application. So, what does all that come around to mean now? Okay? If we're standing in an opposition to a anti-truth movement, that enduring without yielding part means that we're enduring the attacks of the enemy, correct? Okay? By applying the truth. Because in that truth, we are what? Free. That means you're not going to get assaulted. You're not going to have to deal with the enemy. Praise God. So there is a positive side to this, right? John 8, a little bit further, right? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word? Interesting. Going further. You are of your father the devil, and he desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's my confirmation. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. So here Jesus is addressing these people that are standing in total direct opposition, appearing to be godly people. And he's calling them out on the carpet for what they truly are. And the purpose and the reason for it is very replete. You have to have a personal identification with who you are in relation to God the Father in order to hear truth. That is why that person can sit here and read the Bible and go out and sin like no other person, because their identity is not as a son of God. Because that is how you hear truth. It is a absolutely perfect tool, because it requires sacrifice in order to be used properly. This tool cannot work unless you identify correctly with who you are. It is pivotal. So if you have an identity crisis and you're looking in here for the answers aren't there. The answers are there. You need to go to the cross. You need to know who you are first. Then the life application begins. Change starts with truth after you identify with who you are. Jesus was addressing that right here. And the key component to me about this is that that ensues another point. There's an actual relationship. Because a father and a son have a relationship. Maybe not in today's society, as a social society has screwed that all up, okay? And given false pretenses of who fathers are and messed men up like crazy because they have terrible father figures. And then when they go to God, they view him through a terrible lens. That's not what God created. God is the best father anyone could ever have. He is the perfect father. And so if you have daddy issues, go to the big daddy. He's going to fix them. But when you establish that relationship, once that relationship is established, you can hear him for who he truly is. And when you read, you hear his heartbeat. That's what truth is. You hear the heartbeat of God Almighty pumping life into your body. The other thing is that when you go through all this and you hear what Jesus is saying about the truth and the difference of these dichotomies that are, you can't hear the truth because you're a harbinger of the devil, okay? And my Father is on the other side. Truth is constant. Truth does not change. Truth does not waver. Truth does not go one way or the other. Truth is consistently perfect. Every time, every situation, no matter what. It has to be, because it's truth. How many times have you been in an argument and you swear you're right? Like, you're just like, I am 100% confident I am right in this situation. And then somebody just comes alongside and goes, but this is the truth. And you're like, that's humbling. I really thought I was right. But you can't deny truth, right? It's constant. It's always 100% perfect. It's important. So in Galatians, this is 5, verse 1. Love this verse too. Galatians says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is liberty? It's a good word. It's another good word. It is freedom. But what it is it's freedom in a society from actual oppressive restriction. So what you're talking about is actually being free. And in this case, their addressment to the Galatians was free from law. That doesn't mean you can go rob a bank and you don't get arrested. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the law that was originally created by man and governed by man. And what he was saying was, true freedom, liberty, true liberty, okay, allows you to operate in the freedom that Christ provides. You actually can walk in divine freedom because you walk in stride with Christ Jesus. That's what that means. And so what does it mean, though, to not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage? What it really means is that you have a choice here. You can walk in stride with Christ, abiding in his truth, okay? Or you're going to have a struggle with that process. And when you struggle in that process, you are leaving an opening for yourself to be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And that yoke of bondage is that oppressive restrictions that everything in the world will try to put against you. Think about it. There are so many regulations and so many things in today's society that are built around keeping you ignorant, keeping you dependent on somebody else, and keeping you in line with the process and the program that they want you to follow. You know, on vacation, me and Pastor were talking about the news. And, you know, he's watching the news program. And I sit there and I go, I can't even watch the news anymore because it's so pre-programmed. Pre-programmed. It's live, but it's not really live. Because they're only telling you what they are being told to tell you. And that was proven because one of the reports on the news was a guy who was getting this story out finally about how he was told by NBC News to not tell this story specifically because it wasn't going to benefit the news broadcast. Think about it. Unbiased? No, it's not. It's completely biased. And they're feeding you a bunch of garbage. I'm not saying don't be up to date, but do your research. It actually is going to be very time consuming now in today's society to really stand up for what is truth. Because guess what? Everything stands in opposition to God's truth. Everything. I don't care if they say they're a godly TV station or not. It doesn't matter. When I tell you there's religious institutions that believe the word of God and all of its sound doctrines and all that stuff, and they preach something that's heresy. You have to be able to really rightly divide the word of truth. It is that imperative in today's society because the liar has been about trying to sow this destructive spirit for a long time. And he's been about it, and he's been methodical, and he's been pointed, and he's been trying to get into every rule and every area and every kingdom he can possibly get his hands in and muck it up. And you can see him, hopefully now more than you could before. And that's the objective, okay? And one of the things God gave me, and this was actually coming in today, that God gave me was, go and read about the churches in Revelations. These are churches, folks, okay? These are churches. These are churches that were favorable in God's eyes at this time, doing certain things. And if you look through all those churches, there's something good, 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 good. And then, but these things I had against you. And I want you to read those things because guess what? What you'll see is the ploy and the plots and the enemy and how wicked and evil and divisive he is to try and sow that into the church of Jesus Christ. He has a mission. He has a plan. It's not the world. He already has the world. He doesn't care about the world. He just cares about keeping them ignorant, keeping them separated from you. That's what his main goal about the world is. He just wants to keep distance from you. How does he keep distance from you? You're a bunch of hypocrites. You have nothing to say. All you do is molest children. Come on. I'm not lying. He is creating the church as an entity of deception. And he wants to keep us that way so that the world won't listen. I'm here telling you today, church, the world will listen. They will listen. You want to know why they'll listen? Because the more truth you bring, the less ammunition he has. Because he can't do anything about truth. Real, live, evident, walking, talking, breathing truth. It's not about you holding a Bible in front of somebody and telling them what God says. No, it's called, you know who I used to be. You remember what I used to do. Look at my life now. Watch me. Study. Pay attention. You'll see. It's real. It's not fake. It's not a fictional story. It's real life. And you can have it too. But it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take time. It's not an overnight thing. Jesus didn't happen instantaneously, and everybody was sitting in heaven with God. God's eyes, maybe it's only going to be like that. And in our eyes, we have to endure without yielding. So where do we go from here? Well, we can understand some things. We can understand that we have an enemy, correct? Universally, we all have the same enemy, and we know what his motives and his pointing and what he's doing and what he's about. Okay? We know that. But what is important to know is that he has put up traps. He has put up snares. He has put up all kinds of things. And every single part of what he is trying to do is to get you to conform. He wants you to conform to a norm. He wants you to conform in some area, some shape, some place to something that is socially acceptable, that is fitting in. You're not going to fit in, so stop trying. He wants to make us exceptions for areas in our lives. He wants us to make exceptions for things that are not of God. He wants us to be able to even, you know, accept things that are, well, it's only this little thing. It's no big deal. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? But what God says is to give no room for the devil. None. That is a hard line. Draw it in the sand today. Don't step away from it. Give no room for the devil in your life anymore. if you already have areas and you're getting convicted and that's something that you're struggling with, guess what? You want to know what the answer to that is? Simple. Just repent. Give it over to God. He's not going to condemn you. He is not a God of condemnation. He's not. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace and forgiveness. So guess what? You mess up, it's okay, but it's not good to stay there. It's not okay to continue to make exceptions for your bad behavior. It's not okay. What is okay is repenting, getting it under the blood, and moving away from it. Because you don't want to give any room for the devil in your life. Because it comes at a cost. And believe it or not, that cost is greater than you. That cost is a world that's going to fade away. Just like Nolan was talking about up here earlier. It's going to fade away without ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not that you're not preaching. It's that you're not living it. It has nothing to do with your words anymore. The enemy has taken our words and made them hit the ground. But you can't deny the truth in somebody's life. You can't deny it. It's impossible. Truth is constant. So as long as we have that constant truth moving out forward in our lives every single day, guess what? When your words do come out, they don't hit the floor anymore. They're heard. They're received because they count on it now. And that's happened to me. That's happened to other people here. They know. They can give you examples of how it is. So what do? Take a look around in your life. Seriously, take a look around. Do you see the snares and the traps? Do you see the plans and the plots that the enemy is, you know, making against you? Good. That's good that you see them. Identify them. And then what's your plan to increase your resistance? What is your plan to put up walls? What is your plan to continue to block out the enemy in every attempt that he has to take you away from the truth? Because believe it or not, that's not God's responsibility. He's already won the battle. It's your job to march out in victory. That's who's responsible for it. So take charge of your own life and your own destiny today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for everybody here in attendance, God, and I thank you for their captive ears and their listening, God, and I pray, God, right now that you would just continue to work in our lives, God, to continue to pour out in abundance, God, your grace, your mercy, God, as we go through this process, God, of just identifying truth, God, identifying where the lies are in our lives, God, and most importantly, God, making a stand and taking that stand and being firm, God, and drawing those hard lines in our lives, God, so that we align our lives with you, God. We identify with you, we identify with your Son, God, and we count on your word, God, and the power that is within it to change our lives radically for you, God. So we thank you for its provision, God. We thank you, God, that it finds fertile soil in our hearts, God. And we thank you, God, that it's ever at work in our lives. And we all are praising you and thanking you for it. And God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, please come forward. Don't hesitate. It's okay. We can deal with garbage today, too. It's fine. There's no big deal. God's a big God. He's even a garbage collector. He's got a big furnace. Hey, somebody laughed. It's good. Amen? Amen. If not, you're free to go, right? Nothing else going on after this today. So you're free to go, free to move in and about. Enjoy your 3-day vacation. Something that we had. You'll get there eventually. I didn't get mine until I was like 33, so it's okay. Amen? Amen. Come up for prayer?